All right, the title of the message tonight is Hello, My Friend. And we begin in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Pardon me. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, help us tonight to be a blessing. And Lord, I selfishly ask that I could receive a blessing. Lord, there's an unspoken request. We didn't mention that tonight, but I trust you'll take care of that. Again, we pray for Mrs. Glaze that you'll take care of her and her needs, her family. And Lord, just raise up sick folk and get glory from all of that. And we praise you for each thing you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We recently looked at the subject of enemies, and the Lord had a lot to say to us about enemies. We have enemies in our lives, and the Lord Jesus fed us with that. And so yesterday morning, I believe it was, God really began to speak to my heart and said, why don't you bring a message about friends and friendship? And so that's the thing that we're looking at tonight, and that's why. And I believe that both of these statements in verse 24 are absolutely true. We'll talk about those a little bit later, but the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you want a friend, be a friend. It's pretty hard for somebody to become your friend if you're not friendly. And then it says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and certainly that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, I recommend him. And if he's not your very best friend, I recommend him for that position also. He's not only a good Savior, but he's a good friend. Friend is a pretty wonderful word. It says a whole lot when you say, he is my friend. Of course, depending upon your character and your ability to maintain a good testimony and so forth, that your estimation of a friend becomes more or less. But friend is a wonderful word. And it's a title that was given to me by Brother Jimmy Johnson. Brother Jimmy Johnson has graduated to heaven. He and Lester Roloff are the two people in the world that I would think I could sing better than. I won't compare myself to a lot of people, but I believe I could sing better than Jimmy Johnson or Lester Roloff. And I used to say, as long as they're alive, I wouldn't be the worst singer in the world. Well, the truth is, they've both died, so maybe I am the worst singer in the world. But I'd call Brother Johnson, and he'd answer the phone, Johnson's, and I'd say, Brother Sutton here, Brother Johnson. He'd say, hello, my friend. And one time, I threatened to do it several times. One time, I just hung up the phone and called back. He said, what's going on? I said, what did you say when I told you who it was? He said, I said, hello, my friend. I said, I sure love to hear you say that. Hello, my friend. And I just, it just impressed me the way he said it. And not only did he say it, but I felt like, he meant it. Does that mean we always got along? No, he wasn't always right. But we were always friends. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of those things a little bit later. One time, my wife and I were standing in the kitchen, and I reached over and kissed my wife. And one of my little girls at that time said, oh, two friends. And so even children recognize the importance of friendship. On another occasion, we were getting ready to go to church, and my second daughter said, Daddy, who's your very best friend? And I said, oh, honey, that's easy. That's the Lord Jesus. She said, no, I mean, who's your best people friend? And I said, well, that's easy, too. That would be your mama. She said, no, Daddy, I mean, who's your best people friend that doesn't live in our house? And I mentioned Brother Gene Woods, and she said, oh, okay, I was just wondering. And unbeknownst to me, the church that day was having a special day for the pastor, and they had invited Brother Woods to come and preach, and he did, and she just wanted to make sure they hadn't made a mistake. And so they invited my friend to come. It's a wonderful thing to have friends, and I believe that friendship is a gift from the Lord. I believe that. And if you have a good friend, you ought to thank God for them. You ought to take care of them. Some form of the word friend is mentioned in your King James Bible in 99 different verses. Let's look at some of those. We'll not look at all of them tonight, so relax. Some of you thought you were going to have to stand up half the service just to stay awake, didn't you? In Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 26, we find this. This is the first place that it's mentioned. It says, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. But here we find the Bible talks about this man, one of his friends. This is the first mention. The last mention is in 3 John, verse 14. And John writes and says, I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. And, you know, it just really was impressed upon me when I read those two verses. The first verse, first time it's used, and the last time it's used, and 97 different verses in between, sandwiched in between. But those two verses point out one thing that's very, very important, I think. And that is, you can actually have more than one friend at a time. Maybe I need to say that again. You can actually have more than one friend at a time. Yeah. Now, some people don't believe that. Some people think that if you're their friend, that you're a private friend, kind of like private property, no trespassing. Private property, stay out of here. Private property, all violators will be shot. And various sundry things like that. But the Bible testifies that we can have more than one friend. And I think it's important that we do. And here's another thing. If you think that your friend should only have one friend and that be you, you're selfish and you're stingy and you're cheating because you yourself cannot meet every need that they have in their life. Not nearly as easily as several friends could if they're all biblically based good friends. And so we need to understand that. In the New Testament, Jesus told a story, and it went like this. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why? For a friend of mine in his journey is coming to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So here we find a friend goes to a friend on the behalf of another friend. And if you read the whole story, you find the first friend, the friend whose house they went to, or he went to, says, I'm in bed, my children are in bed, and one thing or another. But he just kept saying, I need that bread, I need that bread. And he got up and took care of his friend's needs. We need to understand the importance of having more than one friend. Now, here's some general things about friends that we read in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 33, in the last part, or excuse me, the first part, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And of course, you know, to be able to talk to the Lord and know that he's listening and we can't see him, of course, except maybe in our mind's eye. Maybe you've conjured up some type of a thought of what the Lord looks like, and we need to be careful about that too, I think, but we talk to the Lord, and we know that he's listening to us, and we can hear him when he talks to us, and it's on a friendship basis, and that's such a wonderful thing. And so we need to rejoice in that. In John chapter 3 and verse number 29, the Bible says, this is John the Baptist speaking, he said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Brother Nathan has been working on a message about the church. Let me share this with you about the church. John said, in that statement right there, John said that everybody in heaven is not going to be part of the bride of Christ. Amen. We need to understand that. And because he says here, he said, I'm not the bride, I'm not the bridegroom, I'm a friend of the bridegroom. And so there's going to be friends in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's been Bible doctrine since day one. And interdenominationalists came in and changed that because they wanted everybody to be comfortable all the time. And I'm here to tell you, when you're around Bible preaching, you won't always be comfortable. Bible preaching will cause you to stretch your mind. It'll cause you to stop and think. Brother Dan Allen, the slogan or the logo from his church said, a thinking man's church. And we need to be people who think. And so we need to understand here that not everyone. And incidentally, Jesus said of John the Baptist that among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And John Baptist says, I'm not going to be a part of the bride. And so we need to understand that. James chapter 2 and verse number 23, the Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wouldn't you want to be called the friend of God? What a compliment. What an accolade. What a title to be given to this man who just believed God. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You want to be God's friend? We need to learn how to obey, trust and obey. We need to do that. Now consider these things about friends. First off, there's friends' face value. Take your Bible, and we'll be back here. No, we won't be back here either. But let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you will, please. Shouldn't be very far from where you're at right now. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. The word friend is not used in this portion of Scripture. But here's one of the perks, one of the extra things that comes along with just having a friend. Verse number 9 of chapter 4 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken, or not quickly broken, excuse me. And so there also manifests the fact of having more than one friend. It doesn't say it says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It doesn't say a twofold cord, it says a threefold cord. And then he says here, if one fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. I know some people today that are trying to get through life with no friends. Shame on them, especially if they're Christians. We need to understand the value, the face value. Proverbs 17 and verse number 17 says, a friend loveth at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. Even when disagreeing. And listen, friends will sometimes disagree. Husband and wives, who ought to be friends, will sometimes disagree. And you and the Lord, who ought to be friends, will sometimes disagree. Now, guess who the Bible says made the mistake there? Wrong there, amen. But the Bible testifies that even when disagreeing, two friends can still love one another. The Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. Here's another thing too, another thought for you. If two people always agree, then one of them is unnecessary. Amen. That kind of cuts to the quick, doesn't it? If two people always agree, then one of them is not necessary. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. I have said for years and years and years, he who ceases to be your friend never was. And as I've studied this out and thought about this and one thing or another, it becomes more evident to me all the time that if a person ceases to be your friend, it's because they never were your friend. They pretended, you pretended, whatever. But a person who refuses to be your friend, a person who fails to be your friend, ceases to be your friend, never was your friend. Now, let me explain that a little bit. You cannot always walk with your friend if he or she or they are refusing to walk with the Lord. Sometimes there comes a time when you have to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. The Holy Spirit in me won't allow me to cooperate in that endeavor or to walk on that road or to do that thing. And sometimes you have to separate yourself even from a friend. But sometimes the most loving thing you can do with a friend is to separate from them. So if they'll have to take a look at reality and say, what in the world have I done? I mentioned Brother Johnson a while ago. He and I didn't always get along, and it wasn't always because he was wrong. Sometimes we both had just refused to look at the other one's situation a little bit. But I always loved Brother Johnson, and I always knew Brother Johnson loved me. We had some harsh words a time or two, but we still could love one another. A friend loveth at all times. And then here's another thought, too. If a person's trying to be your friend and you're not returning that friendship, you're probably at least going to be tempted to take advantage of them. If they're wanting to be your friend and you're just kind of ignoring that or pushing that away or you're receiving that but you're not giving back friendship, then chances are you may end up trying to take advantage of them. That's a sad thing amongst friends. Here's another thought. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So the Bible says here that a friend will tell you things that will hurt you to help you. Sometimes a friend will just be just brutally honest with you. Some of you who, I don't know if you know this or not, but Brother J. Frank Norris pastored First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas for a number of years, and he also pastored Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, which at that time was the largest and the second largest churches in America. He pastored both of them, flew back and forth. He was a tremendous man. Before he came to that position, he was at a meeting one day and things went sour, and J. Frank Norris snuck out the back. Had everybody close their eyes and went into the invitation. He snuck out the back door and left, got on the train, and went home. Went in, his wife said, how'd it go? He said, terrible. She said, what are you going to do now? And he said, I'm getting out of the ministry. And she said, J. Frank Norris, when did you ever get in the ministry? You can't get out of something you haven't been in. That's pretty sharp for a wife, a friend, to tell a friend. But he said, when I got alone to the Lord repeated that several times. So I knew the accuracy of it. And it changed his life. Your friend doesn't always need for you to agree with them. Just like your children don't always need for you to agree with them. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is to agree with a friend. Sometimes we okay a friend, what a friend wants to do, we okay that in his mind when it's completely contrary to what God would have him to do. And we're not his friend when that happens. One who's not your friend will tickle your ears. He'll want to make you feel good while he's getting ready to slip a knife under your fifth rib. Destroy your life, destroy your joy, destroy your happiness, your peace. A real friend, his wounds are faithful. And so maybe I'm talking to someone here, maybe someone on live stream, and you had this fellow a long time ago, this person a long time ago. You thought they were your friend. They said something abrupt to you. They did something that you didn't like. They did something that discouraged you. Maybe if you go back and review that in your mind a little bit and pray about that a little bit, maybe you'd find out that was a faithful wound and you just received it wrong. And maybe they're still praying that you'll come back and be their friend. I'm thinking of a man who I am the friend of. He's not my friend. I thought he was, but he's not. And I've prayed for him now for about 20 years that God will let us have the relationship that I thought we had at one time. I don't believe the man is saved. But I'll tell you this, if he called me, lives in California, and if he called me tonight, I'd get on the first plane that would take me there if I thought he meant business on getting right with God. No, I tell you, a friend loveth at all times. And we need to understand what the Bible says about that. Now, when we think about a friend loveth at all times, sometimes it seems like the Lord has wounded us. Now, I have no doubt that someone here or someone out there has thought that God afflicted me or inflicted me, affected me with some type of a something, and I don't understand that. And yet the Bible plainly says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we never know when we might have to eat that verse. And God say, do you really mean that? But we ought to really mean it, because it's Bible. It's Bible. And so sometimes it seems like the Lord has wounded us, and He is certainly our friend. And then there's friendly forewarnings in the Bible. We're warned about false friends. You remember David's son, Amnon. He had a sister, didn't he? But he also had a friend. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. The Bible says Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he ended up teaching Amnon wrong and leading Amnon wrong. And then just, boy, everything went downhill from there. Just killing and destruction and heartache and hurt because of a false friend. We need to be careful about our friends, because there are false friends. There are ones who would take advantage of you, despitefully use you, and so forth. And then there's not only false friends, but there's foolish friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse number 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You see, you learn from your friends. You learn from your friends. You'll be like the company you keep. The old saying that you walk with the lame, you limp, that has some justification to it. And so you need to understand that sometimes we can have false friends and foolish friends. And the Bible says that make no friendship. So evidently, when the Bible says make a friend, it's indicating there must be some effort that goes into a real friendship. And here the Bible says, don't spend that effort. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And then there's, of course, there's financial friends. This is what the Bible says about that. We've got three different verses here because I couldn't figure out which one of them to leave out. Proverbs 14 and verse number 20 says, a poor man is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Proverbs 19 and verse number 4 says, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Proverbs 19 and verse number 6 says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Could I just say, you can't buy a real friend? There's no way you can buy a real friend. Now, we ought to treat a real friend kindly. We ought to help them when we can. We ought to encourage them. But you can't buy a friend. And you talk to wealthy people all around the world, and they'll tell you that. They've tried to buy this one and tried to buy that one and tried to buy another one. And when you buy a friend, that friendship only lasts till someone else outbids you. And then away they're gone. And the world, the flesh, and the devil can offer a whole lot of things to your false friends, the ones that you've tried to buy. And so the Bible testifies we ought not to try to buy a friend. And then here's some friendly facts. Proverbs 18, verse 24, our text tonight says, a man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly. Do you show yourself to be friendly? When you meet on the street, do you meet people? People introduce you to people. Are you a friendly person? The Bible says if you'd have friends, and I want to have friends. When my mother-in-law passed away, she was 96 years old, and my wife said to her, when you die, we're going to have to hire somebody to be your friends at your funeral because all your friends have died. But Mom loved friends. She had friends all over, and she had more friends than we knew about even when she passed away. If a man will have friends, if a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Then the last half of that verse we'll talk about a little bit later. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 22 and verse number 11, listen to this now. He that loveth pureness of heart, he that loveth pureness of heart. That means if I labor before God to keep my heart pure, and when God conveys to me that my heart is right before him, and that's one of the joys of my life, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. You see, people in power want to be with people that have pure hearts. Now, they may not treat them right, but you look in the Old Testament, people want to be around Daniel. They want to be around the three Hebrew children. Kings wanted to be. Queen of Sheba came down to be around David, and we know David's heart wasn't always pure. But the Bible says simply that he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, a king shall be his friend. And then Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 14 says, he that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it should be counted a curse to him. I've only used that verse one time. My brother used to have the habit of, y'all know I love my brother Bob, so I'm not talking out of school. Brother Bob had a habit, he'd get up at 4 o'clock every morning, and until we trained him and reprogrammed him, he'd call you about 15 minutes after he got up. I didn't always get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, and then in the afternoon, you'd see Brother Bob sitting in his easy chair having a nap. I didn't always get to take a nap in the afternoon. And so I showed him this verse one time. I said, he that blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. I said, do a Bible study of that. He said, I don't think I have to study it. I think I understand it. And that took care of it. And so we need to understand that even your friends need a break once in a while. We can't force ourselves on our friends. We have to be in an acceptable situation. And then we want to speak just a little bit about a fabulous friend. And we find that in John chapter 15, beginning in verse number 12. Jesus said, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. All things that Jesus heard of his Father, he's made known unto us, because we're his friends. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. And then, I forget how it goes now. But anyway, what a friend we have in Jesus. That's another one. All our sins and griefs to bear. And you know, the better friend I am to Jesus, the better friend I am to all my other friends. And I want to be a good friend. I do. I really want to be a good friend. I want to be the kind of a friend that a man, person, family knows they can call. Not just because I'm pastor. Not even just because I'm a Christian. But because they know I'm a friend. And as a Christian, I'll deal openly and honestly with them. And they can trust me. Let's be the kind of friends we're supposed to be. Let's do that for Jesus' sake.